Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. Some people refer this as YE Day, Yankee Elimination Day. And of all the ways that I pictured the Yankees to go down, it wasn't because their lineup failed them. And that's exactly what happened last night. Yes, we're going to talk about Aaron Boone not having a feel for his starting pitcher again, and CC Sabathia out there to give up a couple more runs in the third with no one warming up. But let's get real. The real reason why the Yankees did not advance is because they got shut down offensively. How many ground balls to third, ground balls to short, weak pop-ups to the outfield. Didn't get a leadoff runner on last night until the ninth inning. Made it exciting, had a shot, but too little, too late. And the Boston Red Sox move on and celebrate twice at Yankee Stadium. A supremely disappointing year for the New York Yankees. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, you know what, Gio? It's a pick up the pieces Wednesday morning is what it is. And, you know, I want to hear from all the fans out there, and you tell us what you think happened last night. But, you know, we often talk about signature moments around here. We make fun of them. We talk about when is a guy going to have his signature moment, and when is a guy going to be able to come through in the clutch, and when is that guy going to be embraced by the fan base. And I think there are two guys in particular. When I wake up this morning with this ultimate failure that is this Yankee team, and the fact that they didn't make it farther than they did last year, especially with a stacked lineup, I think of two players, there are a number of people, but two players in particular, two people in particular. One is Giancarlo Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton came here, much ballyhooed, $300 million contract, last year's MVP in the AL. And I'll never forget, we had this guy, Sean Marash, in here just absolutely ripping him away. And we were laughing at him and making fun of him, saying that, you know, Stanton was going to have to carry this team when Judge got hurt and all of that stuff. And for the most part, Stanton had what I would say would be a B-plus regular season. I wouldn't say it was an A. I wouldn't say it's probably more of a B than it is a B-plus. But at the end of the day, he did okay. He knocked in 100 runs. He was a part of a team that won 100 games, and we can't forget that. That's a great season in most years. That's a great season. But not for a guy who came here that is making $300 million and who had numerous moments in this particular series to actually have his signature moment.
Oh, he had his signature moment, all right. His signature moment was flailing at a breaking ball, outer half down, which everybody knew. I called it from the stadium. I'm not going to be Boomstradamus here, but I did. I said he set him up with the high fastball. He gets ahead of him 0-2, Kimbrel. Sets him up with the high fastball, and I said, here it comes. He's going to throw that breaking ball outer half down, and Giancarlo Stanton's going to flail at it.
And no si può scopparlo.
That's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened.
Right.
And then he had a runner on second, two outs, 2-0 count, can drive in a run, and what happens? He gets sawed off, which is unbelievable. It even happens on a 2-0 count, but it does as they go inside and he gets his bat sawed off. What a just a miserable performance
it was.
By him
and
last
you
night.
Know, look, I know he's an athlete, he's a human being and everything else, but he's making $300 million, and that's a big part of it. And he is a free agent. They acquired him in a trade, but that's the big part of it. And the big part of it, when you look at that particular player compared to the player that the Red Sox added, that was J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez had a great series. He did everything he was supposed to do, and as did many of the Red Sox, and a lot of the Yankees were lackluster or did not do what they were supposed to do or asked to do in certain spots. So Stanton had an opportunity for his signature moment, if you will. And he had it in game one. He had it in game four. You know, he had the two hits in a 16-1 blowout. You know, I mean, you know, he hit the, oh, by the way, home run. I guess it was a nice home run to have, in game, what was it, three or whatever it was. But at the end of the day, he had his moments, and he did not come up big in those moments. And what's really frustrating is he swung at pitches out of the strike zone.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got Kimbrel on the ropes. You got first and second, nobody out. The entire stadium, by the way, woke up at that point. They'd been dead for inning after inning, and rightfully so, because the Yankees didn't give them a damn thing to get excited about, especially
short, another grounder to third, right,
I mean,
another
pop-up. Game. Yeah. It's just, and every, as I mentioned, I think a big part of it was they never got a leadoff guy on. Every inning started with an out, and you're just like, oh, here we go again. And then, you know, so Stanton's got Kimbrel, who's just basically shaking in his boots at that point, with an up as the tying run, and that situation, and then goes down on four pitches. 0-2, high fastball that I'm surprised didn't chase that, and then strikes out on his patented pitch. Just to everybody else's working the count, everybody else is identifying balls and strikes in that situation. Everybody else who got up in that inning was doing something to contribute, and he could not, the big bat that could have tied the game. So disappointing. And that's, I mean, this is classic. It's another one of these A-Rod things, and I know A-Rod ended up having, you know, a great postseason in 2009 and turned that around.
Well, we'll see. He's got plenty of years left to redeem himself and to get himself right in situations like that. And I think because this team is so young, they'll be in the mix here over the next 5 or 6 years, assuming that Brian Cashman actually refortifies the pitching staff. Now, the next guy I was going to talk about was Aaron Boone, because Aaron Boone came here to the surprise of many Yankee fans when they decided not to bring back Joe Girardi. And let's face it, this was supposed to be a guy that was supposed to be a communicator, and is, I guess he is to some extent. And he had his maiden voyage here, basically upset over the last two games. I mean, he basically mismanaged his starting pitcher, didn't realize that his starting pitchers didn't have it early in these games, and he let them fester and fester and fester. And then when you see the bullpen and what they did, forget about the home run that Britton gave up for a second, you say to yourself, Jesus, if the Yankees could have ever gotten to these guys when they really needed to get to these guys, they were the ones that were going to be able to shut down this Red Sox lineup.
And Robertson looked great last night. And you feel like if Robertson came in earlier, he'd be able to stop the bleeding there. That's very frustrating.
I mean, could you yank CC after two innings and put Robertson in the
third? Of course you could. It's an elimination game. All hands on deck. And then you mentioned the Vasquez home run. I mean, how frustrating is it that the Yankees' short porch that they have been able to utilize so many times in their history bites them in that way? And that's the difference in the game, the one run, as Christian Vasquez, the light-hitting catcher, who has a big game three and then ends up having a big game four with an opposite field home run that sneaks over the wall. I mean, it's unbelievable that that was the insurance run and the tack-on run that sent the Red Sox into the next round. And Christian Vasquez.
And CC Sabathia was lucky that Kinsler didn't hit a grand slam in the first inning.
Oh, my goodness. I
mean, I think everybody thought
that was
out.
Gone. Yeah.
All right, so then now so you have Aaron Boone, you have Stanton. Okay, this is their first foray into all of this. This is their first experiences. For Stanton, it's the first experience in the playoffs and what it means to be truly counted on and have expectations attached to your salary and who you are and all of that. And, you know, to his credit, I mean, he said all the right things after the game. He said that he just didn't, you know, do his job and all that. So I appreciate him owning it. It wasn't like he was deflecting any of it. I don't like CC Sabathia going after Angel Hernandez the way he did after the game last night, because I didn't think Angel Hernandez played any role in this game. I thought he had a good game behind the plate.
He was in his head. Angel Hernandez was in CC Sabathia's head because he knew, and just like all of us know, Angel Hernandez is a terrible umpire. CC has big problems with guys behind the plate he doesn't agree with. He knew Angel Hernandez was going to be there. It's one of those things where he was waiting for something to complain about.
There wasn't anything. I mean, watching it and watching the strike box and anything. I mean, are there a couple of close calls that go either way? And by the way, Porcello's trolling CC on Twitter saying, just throw strikes.
Right.
Throw it
right,
over the white part of the plate. If you throw it over the white part of the plate, then they have to call it a strike. And right. There were a couple times where in the Hicks at bat, I think it was the 9 or 10 pitch at bat, where, I mean, there were close balls that were given to Hicks. And I was saying, man, those balls are over the white. But you know what? They were either a little bit low or a little bit high.
Yeah, the Red Sox started walking off at one point from my standpoint. All the infielders started walking towards the dugout on one of those almost called strike threes
during
that at bat.
But it wasn't. I mean, yeah. He was right. He got those calls right. So that was a little unbecoming of CC, I thought, after the game. But I didn't like that. Now, the other one basically is Brian Cashman. So Brian Cashman went out and got J-Hap, and you know, for the regular season, he was a nice pickup. He went 7-0 and was really dominant, but in this series was not. The Red Sox went out and got Nathan Eovaldi. Nathan Eovaldi was really good for them, but in this series, he was awesome. So Dombrowski beats Cashman in that regard, right?
Brian Cashman sucks.
No, he doesn't. Dombrowski also brings Pierce and Kinsler over. Those guys had big impacts in this series.
Right.
So when you think about that and you compare that to McCutchen and what he did in this series, virtually nothing. And you see that Dombrowski basically beat Cashman with the guys that he acquired. So I would just say that while it was a great 100-win season, and yeah, there's a historically good team up there at the Red Sox, I agree with what Brett Gardner said after the game last night. He says, you know, we could have beat these guys. We were playing with these guys. We felt like we could have beat these guys. And the home runs never came. The big hits never came. The guys that you are counting on never came through. And unfortunately, for like Gleyber Torres and Andujar, it's their first foray into this. They were not really significant from an offensive standpoint.
I mean, Andujar didn't get in the game.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it last night, that's going to be something that's going to be talked about, is this guy had an epic rookie season
but he didn't work
his way into the game at all. Now, I don't know, you know, the exact situation where you would have seen him in the game, but
His replacement, Neil Walker, did a good job.
Yeah, he did. You know, it's interesting about Neil Walker in that situation. So he comes up, bases loaded, ends up getting hit. And I thought that worked against the Yankees in that situation. I wanted to see Neil Walker against Kimbrel, lefty-righty, with the short porch, him just have to get enough of it to hit that grand slam. I was more anticipatory of that at-bat being the big one than anyone in that inning. More than Gary Sanchez, more than Gleyber Torres, more than Giancarlo Stanton. I know that's sad, but just, you know, Walker getting into one there, I thought there was a good chance of that, and then him getting the bat taken out of his hands because he got hit, I actually think worked against him. I would have rather seen him have that at-bat and that opportunity.
I mean, it's just it's pick up the pieces Wednesday morning. That's what it is. Now, where do they go from here? How do they rebuild this starting rotation? Is Robertson back? I would hope that Robertson would be back. I hope that they don't lose him. I think he's really a terrific Yankee. He gets the whole thing. I'm sure he's going to want a lot of money. And I personally think he's worth it because I think he gets the whole Yankee aura and he's not overwhelmed by it. And he goes out and most of the time he does his job. So. There are all those things that talk about as we get ready to go to the Hot Stove League for the Yankees. But I'll tell you, I was sitting there last night going, man, they're going to do this. They're going to come back and they're going to do this.
Yeah, I know. I bought into the Yankee magic in the building at that point, too. Of course I did. I mean, everybody was up. It seemed like Kimbrel was unraveling, and it just didn't happen. And this was another example, and everybody was called up and talked about the Yankees hitting too many home runs and not scoring in any other way. Well, you got a point today.
Now, Gary Sanchez had some of his moments behind the plate last night again, too. Those things surfaced a little bit. Here's the thing about the whole managerial situation is that I believe that Joe Girardi, like, brought an edge to his team, like really brought an edge to the Yankees, especially when it was Yankees Red Sox. Like, he had been through these things.
Yeah.
And there was like a genuine hatred.
I mean, Aaron Boone had been through it, too.
I was listening to Susan talk to Big Mike yesterday. And Susan's like, oh, you know, the guys like each other. It's not like it used to be. They really hang out with each other. And she's like, you know, just pontificating on these two teams liking each other. And I'm like, you know, this is not the way it used to be. And I really do believe that there needs to be an edge in the locker room. And I think that there's something to be said about a guy who's played a long time, who's managed a long time, who's dealt with guys that have gone through slumps, made mistakes, got lazy in the field, and delivers a stern, strong message to that player that this is what the deal is. And I really feel like that's who Joe Girardi is. That's not who Mickey Callaway is. And that's not who Aaron Boone seems to be.
Yeah, well,
those guys are great guys. I'm not saying they don't know baseball. They know baseball. Of course they do. I'm talking about personalities and what you want in a dugout, a situation like last night.
What, you mean like Alex Cora? Is that what you want?
But yes, he brings an edge to that team. I don't care what you say.
No, I know. He does. You're right. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I don't know if they're going to hit better if Aaron Boone has more of an edge. You know, and last night, Rick Porcello was giving them fits for the entire year, and he gave him fits last night. And I don't know if it's more of an edge. I mean, if these players don't know how important last night was, then, I mean, that's on them. It's not on the manager. And I just cannot believe that offense, if you take out the ninth inning last night where they actually got something going, the last two games, that team got shut down. Two runs before that ninth inning in two games. Just awful.
And you know what that is? That starting pitching is what that is.
Yeah, two pitchers who we said.
Right, exactly.
Had given the Yankees problems, came out and did it again.
And that was the biggest difference.
On the road.
It was that was the biggest difference in this series, that you had one Yankees pitcher, Tanaka, actually do his job to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a Verlander or a Kershaw-type performance, but just did his job enough to get to that Yankee bullpen to win. But the other starting pitchers were all melted down. Think about it.
Yeah, I see that. I think that the staff last night for the Yankees should have given them enough to win, and they almost did. I mean, that Gary Sanchez connection in the ninth inning goes 10 feet farther than all of a sudden they did do enough. Well, I mean, last night, is more about the offense than anything else. It really is. It's more about the offense than anything else for me, and I know that Boone is going to get crushed, and I get it. But the fact that these guys, how many times we say it, 1 through 9, it's unbelievable what they have here in this lineup, and at home got neutered in back-to-back games, and one being an elimination game last night is unacceptable, unacceptable.
Well, what do they say about good pitching? Right? Especially in the playoffs, and that's exactly what you saw. And you also saw a very sound, fundamentally sound baseball team. You know, they weren't dropping balls. They weren't making errors. Nunez over at third base looked like Brooks Robinson's at times.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is the same guy that couldn't make it here, right?
Well, same thing with Eovaldi.
Right. So later on in his career, they come back, and they come back to haunt you. But, you know, those are decisions that were made a long time ago. And I think the Yankees, where they are now with the young players and everything they got going on here, are going to be just fine moving forward. Now it's a question of the decisions that they make in terms of their starting pitching and whether or not Severino comes back and what kind of shape is he going to be in. You know, Tanaka's fine. He's going to be your pro next year. I don't necessarily know that I bring CC back, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
I think, you know, he's been a war horse for the Yankees. He's been a great Yankee. He has been the unquestioned leader in the locker room. Everybody loves him and all that other stuff. But, you know, if we're talking about, you know, a fifth pitcher giving you 150 innings, fine. I'd rather give it to a young guy and see what a young guy can do.
So I guess the question is now, heading into this offseason, that we will debate plenty of times. There's two big ticket free agents out there that are big hitters. And the Yankees offense was bad. The Yankees offense was bad and essentially knocked them out of the postseason. Does Brian Cashman say, okay, fine, Giancarlo Stanton didn't get it done, let's add Manny Machado to this lineup.
No.
Let's add Bryce Harper to this lineup, and now we really won't have any excuses.
I want to see Giancarlo Stanton play in the field. Not every day, but I want to see him out there a lot of the time. I think he's a better player when he is counted on defensively and offensively, and he's in the game. I really do. I honestly do. I think that he's young enough that he should be able to go out there and play 4 out of 7 games a week in the field. You know, and if you want to move guys around, give a guy a blow here or there, give him a DH day and all that other stuff, I get it. But I honestly believe that he needs to be playing in the field as well as in the lineup, as opposed to just sitting there and, you know, coming up. I think that hurts him. I really do. And, you know, he's still a young man. He could still play out there. And he's got all the physical skills to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to help him at the plate, but something has to. I mean, he cannot have another year like this where he does not come up in clutch situations and give himself a shot or his team a shot.
Non-de-medical.
Yeah. Right. Awful. I mean, striking out on 4 pitches in that situation.
He had his chance for his signature moment.
Right. No, he had it. Signature moment doesn't have to be all positive. He had his signature moment. That was it right there.
That's a
strikeout.
Negative signature moment. Okay. I'm talking about a positive signature moment.
Right. Well, if you're just talking about signature moment, he signed it last night in that at-bat.
Okay, picture this.
It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.